Mr. Dodd, Rio 6. I think we've now got to the point in late August where the Gothic Line offensive started, and on round about the 27th of August, you moved up across the river Metoro and around the 26th, 27th, to Isola del Piano. I don't know how you pronounce it. What do you remember of that first phase?
Well, I remember prior to that, we had wireless signs for a start, you see, and we had a... I'm sure we had wireless signs before that, and we had a... had a night approach march. We were all in
Did you have your own carrier?
Yes.
As officer?
I had my own carrier and six more. I had seven carriers. You see. No, that was the establishment of the mortar platoon.
So there were six mortars?
Yes.
And you, and in your carrier there'd be you, your driver, who else?
A platoon sergeant. Although I also had a motorcycle.
Was that for your personal use?
Yes, or the platoon sergeant.
So one of you would be riding that?
Yes.
You wouldn't stick it on the back of the carrier?
No. One would be riding that all the time, see. And I think I rode it quite a lot to, so far as I can remember, it was more convenient for me, I think, to ride than, so my platoon sergeant would have been in the carrier, the Brent carrier.
So who else would be in the Brent carrier? Driver, the sergeant, you'd be on the motorbike.
Yes.
Who else was in your little command team? Would you have a runner?
No.
Or a wireless operator in there?
Yes, there'd be a wireless operator in there. And I think there would have been a crew of four. One, two, three, four, maybe five. But my memory now...
Would you have a Bren gun? And would you have any weapon in that car? You wouldn't have a mortar, but would you have a Bren gun or were you armed with Tommy guns? What was your personal arms? I mean, you'd have a revolver, an officer's revolver.
My personal weapon was a revolver, and the others would have had a rifle. I can't remember that we had an automatic weapon. Ah, maybe we had submachine gun. I don't know.
So Thompson or something, Sten.
Yes.
So this was just, this carrier was just the command carrier.
That's right.
Of the other six.
Yes.
Although they wouldn't necessarily... Now, you'd train in deploying. They'd be trained in deploying in section. I mean, sometimes different numbers would go. Not all of them together, presumably.
That's right. Because they were called detachments. You see, number one, number two, number three, number four, et cetera, et cetera, five or six detachments, you see. And you would deploy them as but depending on the orders you got at the O groups or from the colonel, you see, because the orders came through or should have come through, because I used to attend the O group. You see, before we went, or when we were assessing the situation, before we went into battle, we would have these O groups.
Now, what was I know it's been breaking, but what was an O group? Could you explain what it was and how it was?
Yes.
Who would attend then?
The colonel. All the company commanders, that's A, B, C, D, except F's. I don't know that S company commander came over every time, but the simple reason that S company was controlled by this specialist subunits, you see, like the anti-tanks, the carriers, the mortars, and so on.
So they'd have, you'd all be, be along, so you'd have the,
Yes, you see, we'd have the O groups, the CO would tell us of the intention. There used to be a series of initials, and I can't remember them now, but objective, etc., intelligence, method, and so on.
So the intelligence officer would be there as well?
Oh, yes. Yes. It was about seven or eight, you know, in this old group, you see. And I, of course, as a mere subaltern, it was... Oh, and the carrier commander could have been also a subaltern, you see. I think he was at the time, you see.
The Bren carrier platoon?
Yes.
Because that was Collins at
right.
one point. I don't know whether when he took over, I think he might have been then.
I think it was.
So you'd all be there,
yes.
and you get the objective.
Yes, we get what we were trying to do. See, the battalion will advance on with A and C Company in front, and B and D in reserve, etc. The carrier to the mortars with so and so and so and so. You needed to be a highly competent officer, I think, to deploy and organise a battalion attack. I'm sure. Well, you did, and I think some were better than that. Well, of course they were.
Would you also be told what arrangements your interaction with surrounding units and sort of like the artillery and air force tanks? Were you briefed on that?
Yes, you should have been told who were on your flanks, you see, who were supporting you. Now, field, our own, the brigade battery, 449 battery, I think, 449 battery. 70th Field, yes. Well, I remember that after all these years. 449 battery, 70th Field. And Len Garland was one of it. Yes, Garland. I think Garland got an MC. And funnily enough, the battery commander, I was standing, but this is much later, I was standing much within a group when he was hit by a fragment of a mortar shell in the shoulder. Now, I can't think of the man's name, but I think he was quite fairly badly wounded. Can't remember. It doesn't matter anyway.
We'll possibly come on to that.
Yes.
So you'd also be briefed about your artillery support at the O Group and
yes.
possible air support
yes.
or
yes.
tank support,
yes.
I presume.
Although, in my own particular case, I wouldn't have been in a position to call artillery unless I'd have been attached to one of the companies, I don't think, or unless, because that was the company commander's prerogative, I think, to call down fire. Or he might even have had to a radio back to BHQ, who was some little way behind, depending on the situation, you see.
So you
sometimes they were very close to the rifle companies in memory.
So it's at this O Group you'd be told how to deploy and where to deploy your sections 1 to 6.
Yes.
And when and yes. how to put down fire.
Yes. We should have been told of the objective, you see. Any supporting fire and what time it was starting and what time it was ceasing. You see, the rifle companies really, you see. My position was
yes. I don't think I was in a position to call a 449 battery or whatever units they were.
You would just respond to the company commanders when they asked.
Yes. Yes.
So, right. Well, that's a bit. So we'll get back now to you cross the Matoro,
yes.
and we're advancing on this night march to Isolo del Piano after an O Group,
yes.
which is how we got on to O Group.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Mount Meade taking
yes.
you aside.
Yes.
So, what do you remember of the approach to Isolo, and or just this period?
Well, I think that everybody was apprehensive on approach. Of course they were. And depending, so far as I was personally concerned, depending on what had happened at the O Group, and we could perhaps sum up then what was likely to happen. Not in every case. It was, by what I can remember, the terrain was extremely difficult, undulating, and I suppose it was good cover for us, but eventually you had to go over a crest sooner or later, and of course from a defensive point of view, they were so well dug in, you see, they'd had some considerable time to prepare, and it was much easier to defend than it was to attack, there's no doubt about it, even... so elementary, really. The first series,
I seem to remember that we, well, I can remember, we got to this place, Petriano. It was on a ridge.
That was the first major thing, yes.
Yes. We were heavily shelled, and we spent the night at Petriano. I spent the night up there with my carrier, I know, because my carrier suffered a very near miss, and my sleeping bag, which was on the carrier, this must have been early evening, was riddled with shrapnel. And so if I'd have been in it, then I'd have been full of shrapnel too. I was, whether I was the other side, or I probably was at the other of the carrier, but I know I got a loose sleeping bag eventually, because this was riddled. Now Petriano, and I seem to remember that we could look across a valley from Petriano, I think. So by then, they...
That would be the River Apsa. It's just a mile short of the River Apsa.
I can't remember the river, but I'm sure that by then the battle had been joined, if you like, you see, so they knew that... we were coming, I think.
Had you had to fire at that stage?
No. I didn't, no. Because the advance had been so quick, I can remember reporting to the CO on a number of occasions that the mortars were in position, but the range had gone, you see. But the colonel...
This is Worrell, yes. I should have made that clear. Dennis Worrell.
Yes. The colonel, he made very little use of the mortars, as such.
That's a general case, or just in the start?
A general case, I think. Because, I'll come to this later, we were used on one or two occasions as an ordinary rifle platoon, I remember. You see?
Right.
I was told to take a village, which we did.
I will come to that, yeah, I'll make a note. Now, so Petra, how had it been under shell fire for the first time? You'd had this, so your sleeping bag had a close. How were you under fire?
Well, I suppose, like everybody else, scared, basically, you see. Nobody likes it, but nobody, you see. They're firing 10 pounds or 20 pound shells at you, and they go bang and split up, and nasty little pieces of shrapnel are going to come all over the place. I don't think it... Well, everybody, I'm sure. Everybody. But I think it depended on the quality, perhaps, of the command as to... And I think that had a bearing on morale as well, you see. And, of course, how long you've been in. How long you've been in action, you see. And I think, particularly... If you weren't a very good officer, then I think the troops were rather disparaging. They didn't have much confidence, you see, because your decisions were going to control their lives, you see. There's no doubt about it. It was very difficult.
How did you get on with your men at that time? Had you won their respect in these early stages, do you think? Or did you have trouble with them?
Well, no, I don't think I had any trouble with them at all. You see, you must remember that when used as a mortar platoon, they weren't in the forefront because the rifle companies were in front of them. The rifle companies were the boys who went across the minefields, etc., etc., first, you see. There was nobody in front of the rifle companies ever, you see. Nobody.
Now, that Petriano was captured on the 28th of August, and then they moved across the River Foglia, and there was this battle at Mondaino. Now, there was a battle there. Do you remember anything about Mondaino? It's on top of a hill or a ridge.
I can remember the name Mondaino.
That's when Alan Hay was wounded.
I've got a feeling. I think I think there was a feature to our left. I've got a feeling there was a feature to our left. And the colonel... No, I can't.
It's a bit vague.
Yes.
That's all right.
It's very vague. It's very, very vague. I remember the name on there. And I've got a feeling that we were in houses there. Because you'd always... You'd try, if you possibly could, to get a bit of shelter. House wasn't much shelter against a 105 or a 210 millimetre, but it was better than nothing, the hole in the ground, I think.
So when you could, you'd put your mortars in a farmyard and you'd shelter in that sort of thing, or what?
If possible, yes. Yes. Always look, you see. Always. I can't. Because the advance was fairly rapid, we didn't dig the mortars in very much, I'm sure.
How would you dig them in when you did dig them in? I mean, was there a method in particular?
No, we dig on the pit, you see. It's big enough for the mortar, so that perhaps the mortar, say 3 feet or whatever deep, and the mortars would be have some shelter, and so would the detachment, you see.
The 3-inch mortar's heavy. Would normally that you'd have the Bren carriers with you, would you?
Nearly always, but sometimes you had to manoeuvre these by hand, individually, you see, if you couldn't get your Bren carriers up. But I do remember that on a number of occasions we got in position and I reported, sometimes in person, you see, to the colonel, and then I'd be told what, you know, the two leading companies are now so and so and so and so, you see, because it was fairly rapid, apart from one or two places, sticky places. The 4060 bit was pushing, and I seem to remember that they would push a unit through. You, if you were held up for some reason, you see. So, well, that's how it worked. Advance and stuff, and so on. But
that's all right. So, Mondeno, nothing particular. Now, some of the next bit, the Saladuccio and Il Poggio. Anything about that? The carriers were involved on Serra Ridge, but that's, you know, so.
Anything? As carriers, did they get up there?
Yeah. Apparently so. But yes. This is the Bren carrier platoon, not your carriers, which were...
Yes.
Anything in this early... This is still only in the first 5 or 6 days of the thing. So to you, this first 5 or 6 days was swift movement, not a lot of mortar, use of mortars.
No, we didn't use the mortars, I'm sure. We were waiting in preparation to be used, but I think the rifle companies, or the infantry, basically, they...
Did you think you could have used the mortars more? I mean...
Oh, without any doubt. Without any doubt. Yes. Given my head, that's really good commander, yes.
Because, for instance, at Mondeno, a bit of extra support fire on the village wouldn't have done any harm.
Oh, not a bit. Not a bit.
And you'd have had the range? What was the range, effective range?
I think, and this is from only about 1,700 yards.
A mile. You'd have said that before, you know.
But I could be wrong after all this time. But I think it was about 1,700 yards. And
so you could. You feel
we had charge one and charge two, I think, you see. I think charge one up to 1,000 yards. But yes. I think charge one has up to 1,000. And charge two gave you additional... mileage, perhaps about. I seem to remember 1,700 sticks in my mind. We could have been used a lot more, in my opinion.
So you could have supported the infantry, the front platoons.
Without any doubt.
Did you? I suppose you're too junior to say anything to the colonel. Or did you say something?
On the occasion when I was sent down a forward slope, I did say to the colonel.
Now, when was that? Was that in the very first period, or was that later?
It was later on. I would.
We'll come to
feeling it. It could have been after Germano, or after. It could have been after Germano, or after that ridge that you were. Is it Mondeno? But it wasn't long after we started, was it?
Well, even Germano's only 12 days after you started.
Yeah, I think it could have been after.
Casa Ricci Ridge was.
Well, I could have. We could have used. The mortars could have been used.
We'll leave it as a general point for the moment then.
I never did think that the mortar platoon was used to its best advantage.
Now, so the thing, the first 10 days or so, you've got no other particular memories before. You had a rest period at Saladuccio. I don't know whether you probably won't remember the name of the rest place, but it's before you went in at Germano on the 10th of September. Is there anything else in that first sort of couple of weeks that you remember? When was the Gift Footer story you mentioned?
I think that came later.
Right.
So well, that was a ridge because we were attacking three farmhouses.
Right.
That was a ridge. And Gift Footer. Now, I'd gone along.
Would that be before or after Germano?
Must have been after.
We'll try and keep it in order. Would Germano be the next thing you remember then?
I think. Well, yes, because it was a ridge, it was an easy, it was a name. And of course, it was where, you see, the Queen's 169 Brigade suffered heavily at Germano. And I told you, they left a carrier there with the black cap on, which was my old divisional sign, you see. And I had a sign writer in my team, in my platoon. And we righted this carrier, and I had it from there right up to the Casino Canal. I had eight carriers because you never knew one was. So the Queen's lost the carrier. I've never told anybody in the Queen's that I nicked their carrier. But there they are.
Now, what happened at Germano? I mean, fundamentally, it seems very difficult to understand, but that the Durham's role seems to have been mainly to move forward to Germano, the village, from Villa to Germano, and then basically to stay there.
We did.
Facing this cross, Hill of the Cross, on the name of which I've forgotten.
It was to our left. Yes, it was to our left, I'm sure.
Now,
there was a cross.
Do you remember moving it, what you did? Where did you go in your platoon?
We went into Germano.
Right up to the village?
Yeah, right up to the village.
Now, yes. As you went up there, was there much shell fire or mortar fire as you went up? Because that seems to be the
fairly heavily shelled, but not so heavily as we were at a later place. I can't for the life of me think of that because there was one chap I was rather ashamed actually. One chap of ours was in a corner with his head in his hands. I don't remember his name, but and we were shelled for about half a day with big guns. I was thinking of 210s or something, 210 millimeters, which is about a lot. That's 6 or 7 inches or 8 inches. Yeah.
Could you tell the difference between shells?
Yeah,
I mean,
but they used to come like it was painless, like it. It was a horrible sound.
Now what? What were you getting mainly at Germano then? That was lesser.
I think we got one or two Nibbleworthers at, they're multi-barrel.
What were they like?
They were horrible things.
In what way?
We used to call them moaning minis because they used to start up and they were on their way, you see. I didn't like those. Well, I didn't like mortars at all because they could search you out, you know. They had this very, very high trajectory, you see, and whereas a shell would have to come like this, the mortar would go up like that and search you out. We were shelled, and my S company, I don't know who else was there, because I've got a feeling it seemed to me it was only the mortar platoon in Germano, but I must be wrong.
Are you sure it's Germano and not Villa? Because there's several little villages on there. I mean, did you know at the time it was Germano?
Yeah, because we had maps, you see.
And what was the situation in the village? I mean, where did you put yourselves? I mean,
well, the houses, any houses with a roof on, we were in there as far as possible. I don't know why Germano. Maybe it's an easy name to pronounce. Bacellus Villa, which wasn't far. Wasn't that one of Ceres? Wasn't it one of a... Now the hill we're talking about was Hill 69. 149, wasn't it, or something, with a cross on it?
449, I think.
Oh, but 449.
It's difficult to say which one, you know.
Yeah.
And so you were in this village of Germana, looking across to this.
It was on our left, remember? It was on our left. And perhaps that was where the carriers went after Germana. I can't remember.
So
I'm awfully sorry.
No, you're doing fine. So you were just basically in the village. Now, were you firing at this point?
No. I had no orders. No. I think, no.
The Germans seem to have made much better use of their mortars on you than you did on them so far. I mean, from what you're saying.
Yes, I'm sure. Yes.
Because the one thing...
But they were in defensive positions, you see, don't forget. You see, they were in defensive positions. And as they withdrew, they could easily range, you see, because we used to range on the target, you see.
How exactly did you do that? That's another thing we can drop in generally there. Right. How would you range, say if you were in a forward observation position or even if you're back there, how did you range a 3-inch mortar onto a target?
Well, you got your bearing, you see, your compass bearing, and you lined it up. And you fired a ranging shot, and you observed where the shot went. And if it was short, you used to say it. 100 or 200, or if it had overshot the target, you said down, whatever, you see, and so on, and left 1 degree or right 1 degree, you see, and then that's how you did it. But I'm certain we didn't fire any mortars at Germano.
So, didn't that lead to a bit of a feeling of impotence amongst your platoon? You're sort of sitting in this village being shelled and not doing anything. I mean, was the trouble about that? Or did you feel frustrated at the time? Or were you just concentrated staying out of keeping undercover?
Well, I don't think it led to any feeling of impotence or anything like that, as far as I can tell. It's extremely difficult to particularly. No, I can't. I don't think.
Did you suffer any casualties at that stage?
No, I don't think. We did win a. Yeah, later on there were one or two casualties.